Attacks are intensifying on day 7 of the Israel-Iran conflict. The BBC's Hugo Bechega.
We've had reaction from the Israeli authorities accusing Iran of deliberately targeting a hospital. We don't know what the target here could have been.
Israel says at least 40 people were injured. Correspondent Ed O'Keefe is at the White House.
CBS News has learned the president approved unspecified attack plans as an option, but is holding off in case Iran agrees to abandon its nuclear program.
A heat dome is spreading brutal temperatures across the country a day before summer officially begins. CBS's Andres Gutierrez is in Las Vegas.
Today, it will once again perhaps reach up to 110 degrees, and this is going to be keeping paramedics on guard.
Temperatures are expected to climb into the 90s for the first time this year in New York City and Boston. That's about 20 degrees above normal. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Some state lawmakers are expressing concerns about proposed legislation to include a plain language explanation for ballot referendums. The legislation specifies that the explanation would be written by the nonpartisan Legislative Reference Bureau, but could be revised by lawmakers afterwards. Critics of the proposal say the legislative majority could have too much control over the process. They also argue the language of the legislation fails to define what exactly plain language means and that it lacks an enforcement mechanism to ensure fairness. Prescription labels include more than just your name and dosage. Brittany Merlot tells us they also list key details that affect when and how you get your next supply of meds.
One of the most common sources of confusion is the difference between a refill and a renewal. A refill means your provider has already given the pharmacy permission to give you more. But once those run out, a renewal is needed, which means your doctor needs to prescribe a new prescription before the pharmacy can fill it again.
Sometimes patients might forget to look and see how many refills they have left, and they'll expect there to be one. And
that's Olivia Bishop, an Aspirus pharmacy resident. It's also important to check the expiration date printed on the labels.
It is the date where we can confirm that the medication is still effectively working. Unfortunately, after that expiration date, maybe the medication might lose its effectiveness.
Tomorrow is the first day of the Central Wisconsin High School Trap Team Booster Club Brat Fry in Wisconsin Rapids. It kicks off Friday at 10 a.m. and runs through Sunday. All proceeds will help support the six team members travel to the USA High School Clay Target League Nationals in Mason, Michigan in July. They'll be set up at 998 Ranger Road in Wisconsin Rapids. You can help them reach their goal of selling 400 brats. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
It's play ball today at Wrigley. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and Chicago Cubs playing today after being rained out last night. The game has now been rescheduled to create a doubleheader between the two teams August 18th. NFL, former Packers place kicker Anders Carlson has been released by the New York Jets. Carlson, drafted in the sixth round in 2023 by the Packers, has spent time with the 49ers and now the Jets. Former Packers defensive back and special teams guy Robert Rochelle has signed with the Dallas Cowboys. NBA, the Pacers host the Thunder tonight in Indianapolis. Tyrese Halliburton doing everything he can to get back on the court despite a strained right calf muscle.
I mean, I think just around-the-clock stuff as much as I can. Massage, needles, hyperbaric, H-wave. I mean, just a bunch of different things to try to get it to feel as comfortable as you can going into it. The right tape and stuff. I'm sure there's a bunch of medical professionals who better answer, but just doing everything that I'm told, trying to do everything I can.
That's the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A mix of sun and clouds today and warm with highs in the lower 80s. An isolated shower or storm possible late in the afternoon. That chance for a shower or thunderstorm continues into the nighttime. It'll be mild with lows in the low to mid 60s. Right now, it's 64 degrees.
Can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekday 4 till 6 p.m. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, making the popcorn pick of the week will be the guy behind the guy. J.B. Thompson joins me in studio. Then I'm joined by Chelsea Myris from Old World, Wisconsin. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It's 8:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Thursday morning, June 19th, 2025. Appreciate your company as we head into our third hour here on this Thursday. Making our way ever closer to the weekend. We'll talk to Chad Holmes coming up in just a little bit, as well as meteorologist Brittany Merlot, not just about the forecast, but she's also got a story up on the Civic Media site about smallmouth bass season. So we'll get into that as well. Parker Olson is standing by in Madison Studio A2, where I'm reminded that there was a question that came in the comment sections on Facebook earlier that I did not address with you from Greg in Waukesha. How much water does Parker drink in a day?
It really varies. Probably about a bottle and a half of this a day. I don't know.
What is that? Is that a 16-ounce bottle there?
My guess would be 16. I don't know.
22? I can never really tell.
Okay. Probably 16. I don't know.
Okay. And you're still claiming it's mostly water?
I'm claiming that it is entirely water while I'm on the clock.
That's a good story, and you just stick to that.
Thank you, sir.
Folks who missed it earlier, Roger and Stevens Point got up on Facebook and said that WIAA state baseball wraps up today with four championships, and he says best of luck to the Pacelli Cardinals. Chad, do you happen to have in front of you who all is in the championships today?
I do not.
Well, see what happens when they spring stuff on you when you're live on air? I apologize for that. I just figured if anybody did, it was going to be you. So.
Well, unfortunately, none of my teams are involved in
that's
it.
That's true. So see, you're like, I'm off the clock. This ain't water in this water bottle.
I would throw it right on the back of my hand otherwise.
It reminds me, I'm using today's coffee mug is from Drink Wisconsinably. And, of course, on the mug it says, shh, this isn't coffee.
I will tell you, Division One Badger takes on Muskego. Division Two Seymour against New Berlin Eisenhower. Kewanee against Kenosha St. Joe's in Division Three, and then, as mentioned, Pacelli against Johnson Creek in Division Four.
There you go. See, the man knows how to get the info. If it's sports, he's going to get it for you for Wisconsin High School Sports. If it's weather, you're going to get it from meteorologist Brittany Merlot. As we're not just heading toward the weekend, we're heading toward the oven.
Yes, we are.
You know, it's just another way to put it. It is going to be sauna-like, as you put it.
Yes, it is steamy. We're going to be cooking out there, okay? Temperatures today, not too bad, 55 to about 68 degrees this morning. We've got a little bit of light rain rolling by Rice Lake. Otherwise, a lot of sunshine out there and a few clouds mixed in too. Go figure, of course. We've still got this front sitting over the state, so we do have chances for scattered showers and storms still, especially north, on occasion, very stray, very light, very brief. But otherwise, tonight, they spark up again after highs today reach the upper 70s to low 80s. Dew points are actually on the comfortable side, a little sticky still, but they're in the 50s. So as we go through the weekend, they're going to go from the 50s to the 70s, not just low 70s, mid to upper 70 degree dew points. And if you don't know what that means, when you hit a 70 degree dew point, that means it's pretty oppressive. It is hard to evaporate the sweat off of your skin. You feel just kind of claustrophobic, right? The air is heavy around you. That's because it's saturated with moisture. So it's harder to evaporate the sweat off your skin and keep you cool. So you can get hot so, so fast and easy. So it's a good time to hydrate now. I've got my Flash IV. That's what I'm doing right now. Anything you can do to hydrate.
She puts up on YouTube. I try to drink at least one 40-ounce bottle of water a day.
Whoa. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. The more you can, the better. And don't do it all at once, too. Slowly drink throughout the day, right? It helps saturate, you know, into your system a little bit easier. But the dew points in the mid-70s, temperatures in the 90s, it is going to be feeling like with the heat index, triple digits, about 100 to 105 degrees. So pay attention to yourself, okay? If you start to sweat a lot and then all of a sudden you stop, or if you start to get confused or dizzy or lightheaded or start to see stars, you need to get in the AC, you need to get inside, stay cool, rest, hydrate, all of those things.
All right, Brittany, thank you so much for the update. And, you know, I know you'll find ways to keep cool. Chad, we were talking about fairs and festivals starting up this weekend, like Summerfest and others. Anything on your near radar for your neck of the woods?
Well, the big one here is the Wisconsin Valley Fair, which is not till the end of July, early August. So that's always the big one. And there's usually some activities going on around the 4th of July as well, but we're not quite to that spot of the summer here, at least in the Wausau area.
No, that's all right. And Brittany had mentioned earlier that you've got an article at the Civic Media site over in the news section about smallmouth bass season starting up. That would be, is it Sunday, June 21st?
Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Today's Saturday. Thursday. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So yes, all up north, you finally can. So pretty much Douglas, Sawyer, Price, Lincoln, Langley, Door counties, and north, you can go ahead and go fishing. So the Wisconsin, Minnesota boundary waters, the tributaries to Lake Michigan, Lake Superior, all of those awesome places you can catch and release smallmouth bass starting Saturday through March.
All right. Again, more details on the Civic Media site. Thank you, Brittany. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. So Chad is, you can find him over at 98.9 WXCO out of Wausau, following stories up there. What are you working on this week? What are you monitoring?
One that I'm going to be speaking of in our next segment right after this involves Mayor Doug Dinney. We had recently saw an editorial from the editor of the Wausau Pilot and Review endorsing a city manager form of government. And yesterday there was a letter to the editor in the pilot from Mayor Doug Dinney.
You don't say.
Endorsing that as well. And a few of the interesting aspects of this letter to the editor. I think an argument could be made. I think we touched on it previously that in the sense that at least I believe that the default should always be where the voters in our form of government decide who's going to be the leaders. I think there can be an argument made that having somebody of a professional nature could work, but it is not a panacea for those who think it is. But a few of the notes in terms of what Dinney said in this note, and one of the ones that this, again, if this is truly about just specifically in terms of making a better government, number one, he ran on the idea that he was going to come in and just be the guy that was at the till. We had too much Katie Rosenberg being out there and trying to be a moral voice in our community. We can't have that. We just need somebody who's going to punch in every day and do the job. Well, it hasn't exactly been that way. But even in this note, he talks about, I believed that with enough effort, we could overcome dysfunction and personality-driven politics. Another shot right there at the former mayor. And my first thought is, if there's nothing else you can say about Donald Trump, isn't it about personality-based politics, driven politics?
Yes.
I mean, the idea that the mayor of a community or the governor of a state or the president of the United States is not in some way a moral force or a person that whose personality does drive a lot of the conversation, and it should in a good way, I find to be a bit silly. But also the whole idea of Doug Dinney comes in and he thought that he was going to be able to come in here and fix all the things that he saw that were wrong, and he's finding that he can't do it. So doggone, if I can't do it, let's bring in a city manager. I kind of just shake my head at that. And I guess the final point before I allow you to maybe give a thought or two, because I'd be very interested in that as well. This is the continuation of what we've seen since 1980. And Ronald Reagan, and the whole idea from the right in this country that government doesn't work. They come in, they're inept, and then they raise their hand and say, well, government doesn't work. Well, I just think that the mayor needs to look in the mirror a little bit here on why it hasn't worked in Wausau for the past year.
I guess I couldn't agree more, because I can't envision a professional hired city manager taking it upon himself to commandeer an absentee ballot drop box and say, I don't think this should be here, so I'm going to move it. But when you are elected mayor, you know, it gives you a pretty high opinion of yourself for some people. And they feel like, much like a Donald Trump, I'm the boss. I can do whatever I want. And what really bothered Trump in his first term was being told, no, as president, you can't do whatever you want. But he was being told that by other Republicans with respect for the rule of law and norms and the Constitution. And Trump this time around just didn't surround himself with those folks, and through sheer force of will is getting things done until courts tell him that he can't. And then he's got to decide whether to ignore the courts or not. You've got Robin Voss, who's been able to do this thanks to gerrymandered maps. And I think maybe the mayor there is wishing he had some of these accessories or accomplices or whatever. But when it's just you on your own telling you, no, you can't do those things that you thought you could do, I suppose it's easier to just blame the system.
And the whole thing about it is exactly right. Because again, he's also mentioned in this letter to the editor, I have come to realize that it's not just a matter of effort or goodwill. Well, I've seen a lot of effort and goodwill from the mayor's office in the last year, right? It's about structure. So the whole idea is, if I can't make this work, then nobody can make this work. I mean, come on. I mean, he's made, I think the first step for the mayor, if he wants to become a successful chief executive of this community, is to realize his own errors. It's not all structure. There have been self-inflicted wounds from him, and it's not, and it feels like this almost has come up as a godsend for him. Oh, it's not my fault that things are dysfunctional here in this community. It's the structure.
Well, again, what do you never hear from Robin Voss or Donald Trump? You never hear contrition. You never hear accountability, where they go, I was wrong about this. I was mistaken about this. It's, I'm right no matter what. Even if I know I'm wrong, I'm going to keep repeating it over and over and blame anybody else. And unfortunately, we've turned compromise into a dirty word in this country, and we've turned contrition into a dirty word in this country. And, you know, we are going to need leaders who can do those things without being painted as weak. And that's a very tall order, but I think that's what we're going to have here. So
no, I agree with that 100%. But right. I mean, obviously this conversation is now really going to, I think, ramp up a little bit. We had the initial.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Media. By the way, let me ask you the real fact. I don't really have a minute and a half. What do you think of this media driven dialogue that we see here? And I'm going to say it right out front. I've been hearing a lot on this airwaves since Dan Schaefer put out his article on Tony Evers. Is this a good thing in your mind?
What, talking about it?
No, the whole idea that, well, all of a sudden it's become a huge story because one journalist has put out an opinion piece. And now everybody's talking about it. And I just feel like sometimes this train gets a lot of momentum in ways that maybe is not exactly the right way to go.
I actually give Dan Schaefer credit for this, in that the conversation was going to be had at some point. It might have started with an Evers announcement, but at some point it was going to happen anyway. And Dan thought, well, let's kick this off. You know, none of the rank and file Democrats want to kick this off because they don't want to look disloyal by simply bringing up this is a topic of conversation. Dan Schaefer saw what was happening with the National Democrats and said, well, I'll get it started. And he's certainly gotten some blowback, but he's gotten other people saying, well, at least we're talking about it, and we will continue to. And Chad Holmes will follow it at 98.9 WXCO as well. So more to come on that. He's got a local update coming up next for folks in the Wausau market. Have a great day and a good weekend there, Chad.
Thank you, Pat.
All right. We'll talk to you again next week. We talk to him on Tuesdays and Thursdays here in the 8 o'clock hour on these mornings powered by Up North News. A local update's next for some of you. You'll be hanging here. I'll be talking to Sean O'Malley about Trump and the Crypto Bros right after this. You're up north. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Doorman, I need you to check the voicemail today. I'm completely swamped.
Sure thing. A doorman at your service.
Hey, my garage door won't open, or only one side opens. I can't get my car through that.
My garage door motor is running, but the door doesn't move.
Sir, your photo eye sensor is clouded over, or you may have a blocked track.
Thank you, doorman.
Your emergency manual release cord was disconnected.
Those kids.
Children are a delight. We've reconnected it. DoorWorks for the win.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Welcome to WFHR's Director's Playhouse for this June 2025, Session 64. Your host and program director here, James J. Maloff. We want to welcome the best listeners in radio to the WFHR stage. Author, creative, and Wisconsin's own Lori Schneider is with us. Lori, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Lori, really appreciate the time. And we're going to be taking some time to talk with Lori about an event that she has coming up, a Meet Your Author event that will be taking place at, with our good friends over at the Southwood County Historical Museum. We'll talk about that. And we're going to talk about her book in just a moment, too. A very, very important, meaningful book that I look forward to diving into with you, Lori. But if you don't mind, one of our favorite things we like to do around here is getting to know people. We like to hear people's origin stories. Lori, can you tell us a little bit about where you're from and a little bit about yourself?
I was born in Riverview Hospital in Wisconsin Rapids. I grew up in Rapids. I graduated from Lincoln High School. I was involved in high school on the literary magazine, of course. My mom grew up in Wisconsin Rapids. She was sort of a notable citizen who was an activist and very active, both my parents in the Democratic Party. So I was raised in a very socially conscious family. But I was a pretty shy kid.
Lori, that's not too surprising, especially we hear that from writers often. But I have to say, you took me a little off guard there a little. My brother and all three of my kids were born in Riverview, and I am also a proud Lincoln grad. So we got some things in common here, and I think more as we go along. But that's wonderful to hear. And it's so great to hear of a, we talk to a lot of Wisconsin creatives, and it's fun. fun, but to be able to talk to somebody with that such close local ties to us here in Rapids and at WFHR and everything, that means even more. And it's all the more reason why we want to support you and support your work. Before we get into some of that, though, Lori, when did you start first thinking about being a writer?
You know, I don't know if I've thought so much about being a writer as I was just an avid reader. Mm. I was read to as a child. I just loved books so much. So I'm super excited about this event that's going to be at the Historical Museum, because once upon a time, that museum was my childhood library.
Oh.
And it is really a magical, it was a magical place as a library. If you've been in the museum, you know, it's this stately brick building on the river. It's just gorgeous. There's a beautiful staircase with polished wood banisters leading up to what had been the children's room. Mm. So that place was really a second home for me. So I read just tons growing up. And, you know, I had a great life within those books. And so it makes a lot of sense that, you know, If I could create an experience like that, I would love to. So one of the things that actually took place at Lincoln High School that was really important to me was my senior year of high school, we had a visiting poet in the school. His name was J.D. Whitney. He was a bit of a rebel. This was in the mid-70s, long-haired, Harley-driving poet.
Mm-hmm.
And he spent a lot of time with my English class, and we wrote poetry and had a reading event at the end. And strangely enough, years later, I'm living in Oklahoma and go to a poetry reading, and J.D. Whitney is there.
Wow.
And he now lives in Norman, Oklahoma, and we're now buddies.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. That is really cool. That is too cool. That's just how life works, isn't it?
It is. Life is pretty amazing, honestly.
Yeah, it's something. So that happens, and that's pretty, and leads me right into my next question. As far as influences go, it sounds like he was a bit of one. Did you have other influences, and even, you know, outside of writing, just influences in general? It's a tough one.
I'm thinking about this.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a lot of poetry in college, too. I wasn't a creative writing major. I was an English major. But the community, I went to college at Oberlin in Ohio, and there was a really big writing community there. But honestly, coming from where I came from, you know, sort of small town Wisconsin, I was a little bit intimidated until I actually took a little bit of time off from college and came back. And then I felt like I could hold my own. Probably the biggest influence on my writing is honestly just all the books I read. I have just a particular love for children's middle grade literature.
Mm.
So, like Judy Blume, there were just a whole bunch of really formative works from my childhood, things like A Wrinkle in Time, Bridge to Terabithia, just a lot of great classic sort of kids books.
Yeah.
And I continued to read children's books as an adult, so it makes sense that when I started to actually write fiction, I don't know that I was necessarily trying to write middle grade fiction, but I think I write a lot for my inner 12-year-old.
You know, a lot of that makes sense and ties into not only your work, but I think also, so one of the things we really like to do with this show, Lori, is certainly promote local artists and talk about you guys, but encourage other artists out there. We have a lot of young artists, young writers, creatives out there listening to this stuff, and I know that it's very helpful to them to hear somebody, you know, what it took and how they made good, how they were able to get published in these things. It means something something whenever we have a guest on, a writer on, but to have somebody like yourself literally from here and hearing your story, it's not only inspirational, but it's encouraging to our young creatives out there. It's hopefully helpful to them that, you know, there is no, especially in this day and age, no matter how small a town you're from or how big of a town you're from, you can make it, you can get published, you can get to that break. And I appreciate you sharing that. Thank you for that.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, today, there's great online support for writers.
You were listening to Director's Playhouse. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
WFHR and WIRA News, I'm Melissa Kay. It was a busy day at the Capitol yesterday. Savannah Tome Olson has the details.
Wisconsin lawmakers passed a flurry of bills yesterday, both in the Senate and the Assembly. But they started out with a moment of silence for the victims of the Minnesota shootings, their families, and the whole state. This is from the Senate.
I request that my colleagues join me in a moment of silence to honor our colleague from Minnesota, Representative and Speaker Emerita Melissa Hortman, and her husband Mark, who were assassinated over the weekend, as well as our colleague from Minnesota, Senator John Hoffman, and his wife Yvette, who were grievously injured in the same attack.
Without objection.
The Senate and the Assembly were in session discussing everything from training for EMS workers to school safety grants. Republican Senator Jesse James from Chippewa County, in a press conference before the session, he authored this bill for school safety grants.
It's all too often that we turn on the news and see the headline of another school shooting. These tragedies break our hearts and crush our communities. In recent months, we've seen all too clearly that this can even happen here in Wisconsin.
But this plan for extra money to help school districts improve safety fell apart. Democrats say an amendment added by Republicans strips the plan of its actual funding for schools to pay for it. Senator Mark Spreitzer from Beloit.
You're just playing games. You're just daring the governor to veto this because you think that it'll score political points. You think you can go home and tell your constituents that you did something for school safety. Well, you didn't.
A total of 30 bills was on the agenda yesterday for the Senate. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
The budget process continues today for lawmakers. The Joint Finance Committee is set to take up the budget for the Department of Justice, the Department of Administration, and the Department of Children and Families. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Sometimes superheroes need to be stuck up for when they are being bullied, at least when it comes to movies. The marvelous Miss Maisel, also known as Rachel Brosnahan, stuck up for superhero movies. She chatted with Amanda Seyfried for an article in Interview Magazine. Both actors agreed if an actor is going to do a superhero role, they need to own it. As opposed to what Dakota Johnson said after starring in Madam Web and basically trashing the film after it flopped at the box office. Brosnahan is set to play Lois Lane in the upcoming Superman film. As usual, there will be a battle for the top spot at the box office this coming weekend. Distribution prognosticators are predicting How to Train Your Dragon will keep the top spot after a monster opening weekend. Duking it out for the number two spot at the box office, according to Variety, will be 28 Years Later, the third installment of the 28 Days franchise, and first installment of a new trilogy and Pixar's Elio, a little bit of horror and some family-friendly fare. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A mix of sun and clouds today and warm with highs in the lower 80s. An isolated shower or storm possible late in the afternoon. That chance for a shower or thunderstorm continues into the nighttime. It'll be mild with lows in the low to mid-60s. Right now, it's 66 degrees.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Our old friend Dan Schaefer, political editor of Civic Media and founder of the Recombobulation Area, will be here to help us recombobulate. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
All right, here he is now. He's fresh off the campaign trail, just back from a state convention, full of news to talk to us about, but we don't want to forget the lead story. We don't want to bury the lead in all of this. Please welcome to the program Uncle Joe, uncle of a Little Miss Polish Fest princess, Princess Everett. Congratulations, Uncle Joe.
Thank you. She is the cutest little thing in the world, as is her little sister, Micah. We were very sorry to have to miss Polish Fest because we were otherwise indisposed in the Wisconsin Dells. But hey, at least one Zepecki won something this week.
That was an amazing showing, and I'll get to it in a second, but I want to stick with the festivals just long enough to reiterate what Melissa and I talked about yesterday, that your family, much like in my case, there's as much German as there is Polish in this thing, and Polish, or German Fest rather, is not that far away, where again you can see Joe in all of his cultural best.
That's right. I will be working Friday night and Sunday afternoon at German Fest. You can come get a brat or a Hungarian that was grilled by yours truly. So we hope to see everybody at German Fest after missing my first Polish Fest probably since I moved back home to Wisconsin in 2011. Oh. So I think every year, 2012 through 2024, I made it. I got to start a new streak.
I think you had good reason, and that's where I just want to allow you to, you know, take whatever time you need to talk about the race for state chair and all of the hundreds of really awesome people who voted for you.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal experience. I have said more than once over the last couple of days that I would do this all over again in a heartbeat, even knowing how it ended. That is how much it has meant to me to build relationships around the state, to make an impact within the Democratic Party. And we know that we have. People have been extraordinarily kind in the aftermath of Sunday afternoon's vote, talking about the ways in which our message moved them and inspired them to maybe reengage, or if they had been engaged, to really step up what they we're doing for our movement. And so I have no regrets whatsoever. I have nothing but the best wishes to Devin Remicker and the WIS Dems team going forward. I really appreciated William Garcia stepping up and running as well. This was a slog, and it wasn't that it was a months and months and months and months long campaign, as these have sometimes been closer to like 6 months on the road. Mm-hmm. But the fact that it was such a truncated timetable meant that the three of us had to work our tails off and get around the state. And, you know, that was just a different kind of sprint than I've ever been a part of, but it was a terrific experience. I do think that the weekend in the Dells revealed some things that I hope will change in the future. And that certainly both Devin and I just didn't see William as much in the last week before the convention, but both Devin and I were talking about ahead of the convention, barriers to entry and how we were probably asking too much of folks to be able to give up a full weekend, deal with the financial hit of attending convention, having to be there, having to plan to be there so that they could participate. We are the pro-democracy, pro-participation party, and I think it is fair to say that there are some ways in which we haven't lived up to that. There, you know, and we'll see what that looks like, but I would certainly be supportive of and lend my name and support to any moves to ensure more people could participate at a much lower price point. We are the party of working women and men, and we have to make sure that we can accommodate those folks being a part of our process. Full stop, period. I know Devin heard that. Devin talked about that in the last week, and I do have hope that those kinds of changes will be coming in the future.
What other observations did you have going into this after talking to people coming out of, you know, Trump winning, but also winning the state Supreme Court race? So where do you think things go based on the conversations that you had? Are people nervous about, you know, where the governor's race might go? Are they angry about things that are happening with the state budget? What was your whole barometer on the delegates?
Well, let's take the sort of future elections question, you know, the governor, and put that on the table for just one moment. I think it is fair to say that there is an appetite for change even within the Democratic Party. And the line that we were trying to walk was we recognize that Democrats nationally have real brand issues. We have work to do. And the reality that the West Dems operation is the envy of 49 other Democratic parties around the country. And so it's not a straight change message. It's not a straight stay the course, right track message. It was somewhere in between. And I think when you look at how the votes shook out, certainly the conversations that I had across the weekend and across the last 2 months tell me that even the most plugged in and engaged Democrats, or, you know, the pejorative of that would be the establishment, people recognize that there are some things we have to do differently. I think that message came through loud and clear. I have every expectation that Devin and the West Dems team know that and heard that, because along the campaign trail, he was talking about changes we need to make as well to make sure that we are using all of the tools in the toolbox to reach people, that we are not one size fits all, that we are listening to the experts on the ground in their parts of the state. And so that rang clear to me, that as everything in the world is so chaotic and there's so much turmoil and so much of it is a choice by Donald Trump or due to the failure of congressional Republicans to stand up and check this president, that Democrats know we have work to do. We have to get better. We have to improve. And I think that came through loud and clear. To the second part of your question, you know, are folks worried about next year? Quite the contrary. I think people are really fired up at what we can accomplish next year. The fact that both chambers of the legislature are flippable, the fact that we have a terrific governor in Tony Evers, who has done a great job in really, really difficult circumstances throughout his two terms. I think people are fired up and ready to get to work. They just want to make sure that the work that they're doing is informed and strategic and smart. And that's where some of those changes around the edges come in. But I got the sense that people are fired up and ready to go. You certainly had people who have never been to conventions before stepping up to be a part of the process. And you had people who maybe had been a part and then had grown weary and frustrated who have re-engaged at this moment. That all bodes extraordinarily well for Democrats next year.
Let's turn our attention then to what's happening in the here and now inside the Capitol and the news that Republicans, led by Speaker Voss, at first Republicans were kind of downplaying this, but now Robin Voss is just right out there saying not only would they not go with Governor Evers' proposal to increase UW funding, they wouldn't go with a lesser amount. They would actually cut some of the funding for the UW. And Robin Voss is being right out there again saying the UW is too woke and too intolerant. And so this is simply for punitive purposes, which is about as petty as it gets. But if that goes through, Joe, I mean, you can comment on why you would even put that out there. But if you do, I mean, why are we even having a budget debate after this point? Governor Evers, you can't partial veto that.
No, This is copycatism at its worst. And it is one of the costs that we have to reckon with of Donald Trump being in our lives for the last 10 years. I believe it was yesterday, maybe Tuesday, that marked 10 years since Donald Trump came down the elevator and announced he was running for president. And one of the costs of his presence within the Republican Party, frankly, his takeover and destruction of what stood for conservatism, is that you now have copycats like Robin Voss, who see big bad Donald Trump taking the fight to Harvard and Yale and institutions of higher learning. And now they went one in on the action. And they see that it excites a radicalized base, a very small portion of what constitutes the Republican coalition, who get their jollies off of sticking it to the woke libs, when in reality, what the University of Wisconsin system is and what our flagship university is the crown jewel of this state. Doesn't mean that college is for everybody. It isn't. Doesn't mean that institutions of higher learning shouldn't be held to high standards. They should. But the economic impact of every dollar you spend in the UW system is one of the best bangs for the buck that Wisconsin taxpayer gets. And the notion that you would just turn that progress we've made around in the name of politics and clicks and retweets and truths, it's indefensible. And my hope is that this is a bargaining position from Speaker Voss, because he knows better. Robin Voss is not a stupid man. He knows that this is an important economic driver for our entire state.
Let's wrap up then with the unanimous ruling by the Wisconsin Supreme Court that struck down some of the 2018 lame duck laws that tried to micromanage the state attorney general's office. Never mind that it took 6.5 years. It's still a ruling that, you know, is always going to be welcomed when it comes in. But what does it say that there was this unanimous ruling now, 6.5 years later, telling Republican legislators you gone too far?
Well, I want to start by congratulating Attorney General Josh Call, who never wavered in this fight, despite losing on a technicality early on. One of the things we know is that checks and balances are important. Another thing we know is that change and progress never happens fast enough. There are way too many people in our state and nation's history who have been left behind, who have had to do without for years and years and years. 6.5 years is a long time, but Josh stayed the course. He got this win. He preserved an important check and balance within Wisconsin government. He should be applauded for that, and we should all take a lesson from that. That sometimes things happen that we don't agree with, that we know are wrong, and that we have to work really, really hard to change. And that change doesn't come easily. It comes very, very hard. I am certainly thinking about that a lot this week as I reflect on my last 2 months. But just because change is hard doesn't mean it's not worth fighting for. So whoever you are, wherever you are, stay engaged, stay in the fight. This stuff matters. Josh Call showed us all that this week. And we all have to try to live up to that and that so many other examples of people persisting and making change in their lives. We can do the same.
Let me close with a point of personal privilege to say that one of the best things about the past couple of months is that many more people got to meet the Joe Zepecki that I know. And that is always going to be a net positive for people in Wisconsin. So thank you for taking that on, for, you know, running the good race. But even more importantly, for the bigger picture, the inspiration that you provided to a whole lot of people that's going to carry over into the future.
Thanks, Pat. Appreciate you, friend.
A local update is coming up next for some of you, followed by Matt and Air on Air. For those of you hanging here, we will wrap up with more of this weekend's fairs and festivals around Wisconsin. And tomorrow, a new report on how the Trump tax giveaway could cost Wisconsin hospitals up to $4 billion over the next decade. Back with more on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like you know to check for your wallet first before hitting the drive-thru.
$6.
Sorry, forgot my wallet. I have change, though. Here's 40 cents, another 40. Ooh, a bicentennial.
What's that?
Oh, gosh.
Checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
During your working years, you know where your income is coming from. But once you retire, you'll have to know how much you can expect from different income sources and how to manage this income to help support a retirement that could last 2 or 3 decades. Your IRA and 401k will be key income sources. How much should you withdraw from these accounts each year? You'll want to pick a withdrawal rate based on various factors such as your age, health, and other sources of income. Next, consider Social Security. You can start collecting benefits at age 62, but your payments will be much bigger if you wait until your full retirement age, between 66 and 67. By learning how to maximize your income sources, you can help yourself achieve a comfortable and more rewarding retirement.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kinoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones Financial Advisor at 715-421-0958.
From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons, like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Yeah. I mean, I've had critique groups that were in person, but I've had really great critique groups that were virtual, and I made some really good, solid friends and met some great writers that way, and that's always available.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been writing since I was about 12, and a lot of the writing I did was at our old stomping grounds at Lincoln and everything, and I've written short stories, plays, all kinds of stuff. My oldest daughter is a multiple published author already. She's been at this a lot. She's been at it shorter than I have, and she's already like a lot more published than I've ever been, and I'm very proud of that. I'm very happy about that, but it also speaks to where it is nowadays, where being able to get published in that. It's a lot, I don't want to say easy. I don't like using that word, but it is a lot more accessible to people than it's ever been. And now that kind of leads us into your book. And let's go ahead. I want you to go ahead and talk about this. I was going to give a description. You can do a lot better job than I can, but I look forward to diving into this with you. Tell us about the book, Lori.
Okay. My book is called Giddle. Like I said, I write for my inner 12-year-old, but my book itself, I call all ages historical fiction because a lot of my readers have been adults, and adults seem to enjoy it just as much as a middle grader would. So I'd say it's for ages 11 and up. There is a little bit of difficult material in it, sort of emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
The book tells the story of 13-year-old Gittel Borenstein and her family. They've fled a deadly pogrom in Kishinev to start over as farmers in a small town in central Wisconsin. When I initially pitched the book to an editor and they got more interested in it, the editor called it Fiddler on the Roof meets Little Town on the Prairie.
I love that.
Which sounded kind of silly, but it's actually a pretty apt description mm-hmm. of the book.
Yeah, it seems to work, yeah.
So the story is set in a fictional version of Arpin, Wisconsin. So most of your, hopefully your listeners are aware of the little town of Arpin.
Mm-hmm.
Once upon a time in Arpin, starting in 1904, there was a Jewish agricultural settlement there, which most people probably have never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
But my great-grandfather lived there for about 5 years. And on a research trip years ago, I went to visit the site of the colony, and there is absolutely nothing left of it. And in fact, really hardly anyone remembers it was there. And that really, I don't know, I had a moment standing there realizing that this history had vanished.
Yeah.
And I can't say I just ran home and wrote a book about it, but it certainly percolated and stewed for a very long time until eventually I did sit down and decide to write a story that was set there.
Hmm. Lori, so just to let you and the audience know, there is an ulterior motive of why I wanted to have you on today. This book is important, and it's important to tell these stories. And the audience knows by now, if you don't, I'm Jewish. I come from a mixed family of Jewish and Catholicism. And for my family, who lost members in the Holocaust and lost members in the plagues and lost members at every turn in history, that history gets lost. And these stories, the only way they stick around is if we retell them. A huge part of Jewish culture is continuing to tell stories and making sure that they stay alive for the next generation and so on and so on. You doing this has, it's entertaining, it's a beautiful story, it's a wonderfully well-written book. It's also important data. And important to keep this kind of thing going and keeping these stories moving. That's a big part of what you've done with this book. It is not a simple feat, and it's something that is incredibly appreciated and unable to be put into words. As much as I want to call myself a writer, I can't put into words how much it means to not just me, but to our community and to continue to tell these stories, especially in 2025 and in this day and age. It's a great book. It's very entertaining. It's also meaningful, and I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. I can't tell you what it means for me to hear that. I've gotten a lot of really positive response from, like, the online Jewish community, which has been incredible and honestly not anticipated. But honestly, when I set out to write the book, it was central Wisconsin and the people in Wisconsin Rapids in that area that I was thinking about. Because, you know, it happened there. It was tied to this place. It's why, it was why I grew up there. It was why my family was there. And in some ways, even though the book is set in 1911, there's a bit of my experience growing up there that's sort of embedded, I think, emotionally in the story as well.
Yeah. You know, I was curious about that. With your ties to the area, your family ties to the area and some of that, and certainly the emotional part of that. A good author, they always tell you to write what you know. And so incorporating parts of your childhood or parts of your own feelings into the characters had to come a bit organically, or was it more intentional?
It's just organic.
Yeah.
For me, it's almost not so much you write what you know, although that is true. It's more like write what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't write for therapy. But, you know, no matter the character, if I can't make an emotional connection with them, I'm not going to be able to communicate to a reader either.
A great point. And you are such a good writer. That is such a better line. I've never heard it put that way. You write what you feel. That is really good. You know, to be honest, writing what you know never made 100% sense to me, because I feel like most of the good writers I read, I do a ton of research and do all this homework on these subjects they've never heard about before. So it that makes a lot more sense, what you said. I like that a lot more. That's good. We're speaking with Lori Schneider and talking about her book, Gittle. Did I say the right Gittle?
Yep.
Yeah, Gittle. And Lori, part of the other reason we have you on is not only this book, which we will let everybody know where they can find it and get it online and before we wrap up today. It's also this great event that you are going to be doing along with our friends at the Southwick County Historical Museum. You're going to be there's a Meet Your Author event coming up Wednesday, June 25th at 5:00 over at the museum at 543rd Street South. What can people expect with this event?
You were listening to Director's Playhouse. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. We're just in from the Israeli army. Iran used a missile with multiple warheads in an attack in southern Israel today, posing a new challenge for its Iron Dome air defense system. CBS's Robert Berger.
There was major damage after a direct hit at the biggest hospital in southern Israel, and several high-rise apartment buildings near Tel Aviv were also damaged.
President Trump says he's still deciding on whether to join the Israeli side.
I don't want to get involved either, but I've been saying for 20 years, maybe longer, that Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. I've been saying it for a long time. And I think they were a few weeks away from having one.
Brutal heat is spreading out across the U.S. Temperatures are expected to soar in places like Sioux Falls, South Dakota, where Sandra Pinato's son plays soccer.
What the team did, they have a lot of breaks, more water, and maybe.